Hello, everyone. Welcome. So I'm one of the elders in the church who are sharing the duty of teaching the Word of God during our Sunday services. At the end of August, I began a message series entitled, Be, Have, Do, Alive in Christ. Part 1 was Made for More. Part 2 was The Glory of God. In the first message, we explore how people are searching for truth. Truth about who they are, the meaning and purpose in life, and how to break free of the futility of life in this world. We found that ourselves are the cause of this futility, and that the source is the sin that lives in and through us. We searched for where truth can be found and concluded the only real truth we can believe, trust, and rely on is the Word of God as written in the Bible. We read in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. And God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. In the second message, we learned that God created the heavens, the earth, animals, life, and humans as a manifestation and demonstration of His excellence and His glory, His power, knowledge, perfection, His beauty, greatness, worthiness, His goodness, faithfulness, justice, His love, mercy, and grace. Now, humans in particular were created to reflect God's glory, created in His image, created to see, savor, experience, enjoy, rejoice, and love God, one another, His creation, and all of His glory. Created with purpose, work, and the ability to carry out our calling. Created to walk with God, be His friend, and rely on Him to provide what we need to live and succeed. God also gave us free will to choose how we live our lives. Freedom to choose and follow God's will. Freedom to choose and follow our own will. Freedom to choose and follow the will of others or the world. Then came the test in the Garden of Eden, a test to determine where the human heart was and where human faith and trust lay. Was it in God, in ourselves, in others, or in the world? The result of the test? Humanity rejected God. We did not trust or had faith in God's will and purpose for our lives. We believed we would be better off without Him. Wanted to become like Him, being our own God and living for our own glory, not His. When Eve and Adam chose to eat the forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was humanity's first sin against God, and we fell short of His glory. This is known as the fall, and we've been paying the consequences ever since, having become slaves to our sin. That's the paradox and dilemma of the human condition, created to reflect the glory of God, yet born sinners and slaves to sin. So I retired this past summer after working 33 years as a health physicist, a radiation detection expert for Atomic Energy of Canada Limited, now known as Canadian Nuclear Laboratories. Part of my job involves recruiting, hiring, training, mentoring, and supervising health physicists. And there's one back in the corner. There were two aspects in deciding who to hire and how to train and mentor them. First was their technical competencies, ability to learn and do the job. The second was their behavioral competencies, a right attitude to do the job. We established performance expectations for both technical and behavioral aspects of the job. We provided work assignments to help them grow through experience and offered opportunities for career and professional development. The goal was to put them in a position for success. If they succeeded in their work, the company would succeed. In other words, if they did their job competently that they were hired to do, then they would be glorifying the company. So this led me to wonder, did Adam and Eve have the right technical and behavioral competencies to carry out the purpose, work, and duties God had called them to do? And the answer seems no. They chose to follow their own will, do their own thing, and to live for themselves rather than for God. So is this one of the reasons why God gave us the Bible? The Bible seems to offer directives and reveal God's expectations for the competencies we need in order to reflect His glory. It addresses the competencies Adam and Eve lacked and the deficiencies in their performance. Essentially, it is telling us how not to be an Adam. So today is part three of the message series, Don't Be an Adam. So I'm going to present seven aspects that I believe God is telling us in the Bible regarding the competencies He expects us to have and develop, so that we won't be like Adam and instead reflect His glory. Number one, fear the Lord your God. God tells us in His Word, fear me. Have great awe, reverence, and respect for me. Tremble at my excellency and power. The Old Testament is filled with many commands to fear God. Leviticus 25, verse 17 says it well. You shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. right here myself. A couple of verses that stand out to me where God could have been speaking directly to Adam are Deuteronomy 8:6. You shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. Exodus 20, verse 20. Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. A strong warning to fear God is given in Revelation 14, verse 7. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of this judgment has come, and worship him who made the heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. So judgment will be given to those who do not fear God and do not reflect his glory. Number two, love the Lord your God. God tells us in his word, love me, treasure me, delight in me, find joy in me, be satisfied in me. Spend time with me, walk with me, serve me, live to please me. The Bible is also filled with commands to love him. The most well-known command is in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Jesus repeats this in Matthew 22, verse 37. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. A couple of verses that stand out to me as direct commands to Adam are Deuteronomy 11:1. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his rules, and his commandments always. John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Number three, trust and have faith in the Lord your God. And God tells us in his word, trust me, have faith in me. Believe in me, rely on me, know that I am God. Trust my word and promises. Know that I know what's best for you and will take care of you. Reflecting God's glory means having steadfast and unwavering faith, confidence, and trust in him and who he is. It is evidence of true admiration, reverence, respect, and love for him. We read in Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Hebrews 10:38. My righteous one shall live by faith. And throughout the Bible, God places great value on our faith in him. It moves his heart deeply, as it is evidence of our fear, love, belief, and trust in him. It moves God so much that he counts our faith as righteousness. And we see that with Abraham, when God bestowed him righteous because of the belief and trust Abraham had in God. And out of this righteousness, Abraham lived faithfully to God. Genesis 15:6. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. So life in this dark and fallen world is often tough, unfair, and full of trials, conflicts, and challenges that test our faith. But it's through these storms of life that our faith grows as we place our trust and reliance on God. And when we do, we will experience God's strength, perseverance, love, and grace that he will give us to weather the storms. It is written in Romans 1:17, For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. This simply means our faith grows as we use it. Like weight training, our spiritual muscles must be exercised and placed under pressure to grow and strengthen. Evidence that we are right with God is that we are in the gym of life, growing and strengthening our faith in him. 4, be in the spirit and the love of the Lord your God. God tells us in his word, be in my spirit and my love. Be strengthened, empowered, and made wise by my spirit. Experience my compassion, my peace, and my desire through your love, through my love. And we see in the Bible how God bestowed the Holy Spirit upon people he had chosen to carry out his will and work through their lives. It was through God's enabling power that they were able to succeed as they stepped out in faith. In Judges 14, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon Samson and gave him strength to fight off a lion, actually tearing it into pieces, and to defeat 35 men single-handedly. The same expression is used in 1 Samuel 10 after Samuel poured oil over Saul's head to symbolize the Lord's anointing of Saul to become king and reign over God's people in Israel. 1 Samuel 10, verse 9 and 10. God gave him another heart, and the Spirit of God rushed upon him. The term is also used when David took over from Saul as God's anointed king of Israel. 1 Samuel 16:13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, upon David, from that day forward. Equally, we can lose the Spirit's empowerment when we live against God's will and according to our will. Samuel 16:14. Now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a harmful spirit from the Lord tormented him. 1 John verses 15 and 16 speaks of the need for the love of God to be in us. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. In Genesis 3, we saw that Eve chose to eat the forbidden fruit because of the desires of her flesh, the desires of her eyes, and her pride of life, showing that the love of God was not in her. Number 5, be united with the Lord your God. God tells us in his word, abide in me and let my words abide in you. Be united with me and let my words live in your heart. The heart of the matter is the heart and the mind being in sync with the heart and the mind of God. His nature being our nature, and his desires being our desires, and his will being our will. The Lord declared to the people of Israel in Jeremiah 31, verse 33, this is my covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. We are also instructed by Jesus in John 15, verses 4 and 6. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And Jesus prays in John 17, 21, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, and I in me, and I in you, that they also be in us. 1 Corinthians 6, 17, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. So, although we are created in the image of God, we are born in the flesh, not naturally connected with God in spirit, heart, or mind. Number 6, obey the Lord your God. God tells us in his word, obey me and do my will. Willingly submit to my authority and without doubt in everything you do, even in the face of loss, suffering, or death. Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 to 13, gives a clear message to Adam and his descendants. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. There has only been one man in history who has been able to be fully obedient to God and to do His will at all times and in everything He did. And His name is
Jesus.
And number 7, glorify the Lord your God. God tells us in His Word, glorify me, reflect my glory in all these things. And when God says to reflect my glory, He has told us in His Word, fear me, love me, believe me, trust me, have faith in me, be in my spirit, be in my love, keep my commandments, do my will, work, and calling in your life. But we cannot do this. We cannot do what God demands us to do because we have a sin problem. Romans 3:23. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Our sinful nature will not allow us to glorify God. There was only one way for God to fix our sin problem. He had to create a new man, a true and better Adam. And that's exactly what He did in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, born and manifested as a human being. Jesus, the Son of Man, who lived a perfect, sinless life, fully reflected God's glory in man. Jesus, who fully feared and loved God. Jesus, who completely believed and trusted God. Jesus, who was fully filled with the Holy Spirit and God's love. Jesus, who was fully united with God. Jesus, for whom God's Word lived fully in His heart. Jesus, who perfectly obeyed God and faithfully accomplished the will of God. Jesus, who completed God's plan by allowing Himself to be killed on a cross as an atonement for our sins. Jesus, for whom God raised back to life from the dead, defeating the death of sin. So what does this mean for you? It means good news, great news. It means that God, through Jesus Christ, took care of your sin problem and made a way for us to be made right with God and to reflect His glory. Made right by admitting you are a sinner and fall short of the glory of God. Believing Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And placing your faith and trust that Jesus bore the penalty of death for your sins in your place, and that He was resurrected from the dead and brought back to life. And when you do, something supernatural happens. You are spiritually reborn into new life. And because you place, and because you believed and placed your faith in Jesus Christ, God bestows upon you Jesus' righteousness. You become a new creation, a new person. You no longer exist in the death of the sinfulness of the old Adam. You are alive in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the new Adam. And another way to think about this, Christ takes our sin and we receive His righteousness. Given as a gift from God, received by faith in Christ alone. Something we are given by God. Something that we cannot earn ourselves. Now we can better understand Romans 3:23-25. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But there's more. It doesn't stop there. Verse 24. And are justified by the grace, are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. Let that sink in. God did not leave us in our sinfulness, but made a way to redeem us in Christ Jesus as a gift to be received by faith. Romans 3:22 tells us the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Romans 4:5. And to the one who does not work but believes in Him who justifies the godly, his faith is counted as righteousness. When God looks upon you, He sees only the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. You become the reflection of God's glory in Christ. And there's more. There's more good news. God adopts you as His own son or daughter. You are no longer a creature made in His image, but a new creation alive in Christ. And God gives you the Holy Spirit to live in and with you. The Holy Spirit who begins the process of transforming your heart and your mind to become like Jesus. Writing God's Word upon your heart and rewiring your thoughts and desires to be the same as Jesus. Then, one day, when Christ returns, you will receive a fully glorified, perfect body, heart, and mind. And you will live and reign with Christ forever. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Who is this available to? It is available to anyone who chooses to believe in God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So if you have not placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ yet, as your Lord and Savior, do it now. What are you waiting for? Don't be an Adam. Instead, be dead to your sin and be alive in Christ. And I'll leave you with one final scripture. Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Each of us are called to work out the salvation we have in Jesus Christ in fear and trembling. To work out how we are to live in this world as a new person, as God's son or daughter in Christ. To let His Spirit work within us, transforming our hearts and minds to be like Christ. And to carry out God's will and specific work He has called each of us to do and collectively as His church. Living our lives from faith to faith and being transformed through the Spirit from glory to glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You that You did not leave us alone, that You have been with us since the start of time, showing us who You are, watching over us, and making a way to redeem us and bring us back to You through the life, death, and resurrection of Your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Show us and guide us how to live in who we now are, saved, redeemed, reborn, made alive in Christ. No longer just Your creatures, but now adopted and living as Your sons and daughters in Christ. Help us live out our salvation in fear and trembling, in awe and reverence that You are God and Creator of the universe, who decided to create us, love us, care for us, and die for us, so that we can become one with You and live with You forever. And Lord, we know that life will continue to be hard and difficult while we live in this dark and fallen world. Thank You that You know and understand how we suffer from hurt and pains, and that we struggle with addictions and strongholds from our old self, that we are not perfect, that we make mistakes, and that we have struggles and setbacks. Give us the strength and endurance as we keep moving forward and work through the process of being healed and having our hearts and minds renewed by Your Holy Spirit. Show us the path that You want us to walk with You. Give us the boldness to step out in faith and confidence that You will give us the grace and the enablement to accomplish Your will and to do the work that You have called us to do. To love You well. To love and support one another well. To represent Christ well. To shine Christ's light into the world and to those around us, and to give other people the opportunity to get to know who Christ is, to know who they are in Christ, and to be reconciled back to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.